Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am
year to all of our Friday Fellowship of Learners. Praise God, he's allowed us to see another year. Oh, his goodness runs after us. It overtakes us, and it blesses us. I am so grateful to be a part of this ministry and to be able to have a fellowship with a phenomenal group, that's Apostles' Word, of saints. I thank God for you. I thank God for his mercy and his grace and his faithfulness. That truly, truly is my song of praise unto him this morning and every morning and all day long. This is a new year. This is a new day. And it is another opportunity that he's allowing us to be transformed into the image of his dear son. We thank God for this presentation by Paul Carnum of the book of Job, the insight and the direction in which he highlights some things, excuse me, that we may not have taken that perspective in times past, looking at adversity as a treasure, looking at adversity as an opportunity, looking at adversity as the proving fire of God's pruning us, purifying us, preparing us. These things that we have asked, even as children, when we were saying the Lord's Prayer, they're being manifested in the truth of adversity is how those things come to pass. We look at so many things that we've been saying, so many scriptures that we know, we preach, we taught, we've sung them, and yet we were only scratching the surface of their impact into our lives. And as this perspective is laid down for us, we see them much more powerfully than we did before. So truly, the eyes of our understanding is being enlightened so we understand the hope of our calling. We're not surprised. We're not blindsided. We're not living in a scriptural misinterpretation. We're not assuming a human perspective to a spiritual reality. We're not no longer captivated by those things that are temporal, but we're getting a glimpse into the treasures and the pleasures of those things that are eternal and issue from the God that loves us, that cares for us, who has covenant with us to perfect us. And in that perfecting, he exposes one of the, or he reveals one of the tools that he uses, and he's told it to us in many, many very familiar scripture, but judgment. It is a concept that we unfortunately often view negatively because of our experience with it on a human level and on a natural level. And he wants us to get a God's eye perspective, a God's eye view, which is going to be our next book, because we will see when we see it from God's perspective, it takes on a whole new meaning. But more than meaning, it gives us an understanding of the knowledge that we have. So now we understand, just like with the fruit, the secrets of the vine. There's a difference between discipline and the other one. I can never think of the other. Discipling. And yet, they, as that chart showed us, they have many, many similarities. And yet, we've often misinterpreted discipline or discipling as being disciplined. And so, and we looked at it in a negative way. But one of the things that the divine dresser did every day, as we read in scripture, was he examined the fruit. Well, he was judging the fruit. He was looking at it and speaking it position or its properties as it relates to his standards, not man's standards. So that in itself was a judgment. And from that judgment, different things may have happened depending on the verdict, if you will. And so we looked at last week the three different definitions of judgment, and we are understanding that it's either negative or positive. Because we will be judged to be righteous based on Jesus Christ. Again, it's the standard that's used. We would have a hard time sometimes saying, yes, I'm righteous. I'm a righteous person, because that seems as though it lacks humility, and it may be a bit presumptuous of us, or someone saying they were a righteous person. And yet it is a judgment based on a standard that is divine, that is spiritual. And we are spiritual beings. And so it becomes quite appropriate to say that and to say it humbly, because it wasn't that we established our righteousness, but we received it through Jesus Christ. And that's what's being judged. How well have we received the righteousness of Christ? How well have we received the truth? How well have we received the trial, the adversity? How well did we, navigate through things to come to God's expected end? And so we have everyone shall be judged. So it's not something that anybody could get out of. And we talked about that briefly. We started on that last week. And the three words of definitions or uses of the word judgment. And so we want to realize how important this becomes in our situation or our position in the midst of, in the midst of our circumstances, okay? And so what we realize our adversities are easier to embrace when we understand that we're doing this so that our hearts may be pure. He will create in us a clean heart so that we are spotless in the day of judgment, so that as we are afraid, to be the bride of Christ, we understand to be the bride of Christ, we have to go through these adversities to purify us, to bring us to a place of spotlessness according to his standards. And so it's like this is the opportunity that trials give us to see the manifestation of that prayer in our life. Manifest in our life. We have a fuller definition or understanding of judgment. We're able to see that God's judgment is not always the case wherein we find to be guilty or punished. We have such an image of a father as negative, of God as this powerful being, that is untouchable or so demanding. That we're going to be punished if we hiccup, or we often have this view of God as just being, as the scripture said, so far away, and yet he isn't. He is so close, and he is so loving, and yet that is an experience that a lot of people have a hard time realizing as it relates to God, as it relates to his relationship to us. So it may mean judgment unto cleansing and vindication. And so there's some things that, you know, he said, I am, he'll fight our battle. And he, vengeance is his. Vengeance comes from vindication. So in other words, I'm going to vindicate you. I'm going to reveal the fact that I'm going to stand and in a judgment position of authority and declare that you're righteous, that you're mine, that those things that are in your life are not because of the things that man might think, as Job's friend did. And so he was vindicated in the end. The purpose of trials is to really see, is to stir up what's in our heart. You know, we pray the prayer, Lord, you know, search me, you know, and know my ways. If you find anything that's not like you, reveal it. That revelation comes through trials and adversity. That's how it's stirred up. And we can often say, well, no, I asked for it. He can just show it to me. But he's shown it to me, to us all along, and we didn't see it. And so he has to allow it to surface in a way that it is very recognizable. And it is a thing that he gets our attention in and through, and we're able to go forth for him in a way that is perfected, because he's perfected. To follow after righteousness, we must first follow after the one to whom righteousness belongs, the righteous judge, that's Christ. And that's this whole concept of the book of Job. In order to reign with Christ, we must suffer. And the scripture tells us that. And we often feel that suffering is persecution from man because we say we are Christian. But sometimes the suffering is just persecution, period, you know. And it has nothing to do with what we've done or who we are. It's just a part of reality, because what Job experienced had nothing to do with who he was or what he had done. It was done so that he could be vindicated, so that that which was a part of him that he was not aware of could surface. He was sent testings and trials, Job was. He was sent these testings and trials in order that all hidden iniquity would shift out of us, just as it surfaced in Job. During the shifting time, we often lose sight of the reason for the trials, which is to present us blameless before the spotless one. An understanding of this end result will make it better and easier for us to accept and to welcome these things in our life. You know, in all things, give thanks. You give thanks because now you have a wisdom and an understanding of why they're happening. They're happening so that the prayers I have prayed, he said, if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will give you those things you pray for. You ask, and I will answer, and I will give you those things you pray for. And these are the things we prayed for. We just didn't know that the manifestation of them would look the way they do. But now we're learning they will look this way, but, you know, all things will work to the good. So now we're getting a clearer involvement in all things work to the good. And that all things are these adversities and these tribulations, these testings and these trials, all things. And we know that that's how we view this. But we have to view it as these things are purposeful in my life because God is trying to tell me something. Anybody know that song from, what was that, Purple, Black, whatever the movie was. Anyway, and so He is trying to tell us something. He does want our attention because he is going to purify our life through these things. Just as the vine dresser examines the fruit, and he proceeds after that examination in whatever way is necessary for that fruit to bear much fruit. So we are looking at the reasons for judgment. They're listed very, that's why I love this, the way he presents it, because he summarizes his thoughts for us, and then he goes and he expounds them. And so the judgment is for deliverance. And when we look at that, you know, how many times do people go to the altar for deliverance? So you pray that your children will be delivered and that sort of thing. Well, you have to understand that judgment is how you get to that deliverance. God wants to deliver us from the many enemies that surround and vex us. And some of them are out of us, but a lot of them are on the inside. You know, and as God judges us, he is separating the precious from the vile in our life. He is separating the good from the bad, the righteous from the wickedness. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. So he has to do this because he loves us. And this is our prayer is for deliverance. And this is how he brings that prayer in our life, or the manifestation of that prayer in our life. I believe that I believe that in this, when we understand this perspective of God, it makes deliverance look a lot different. A lot of times we want to be delivered from our troubles, from our trials, but our trials deliver us from our enemy. You know, and so when you see that, because it's the enemy that is within, the fire of judgment burns off whatever is unrighteous or wrong inside of us. And what the enemy would, how the enemy would vex us with, the trial will give us enduring strength to go through. Those who endure to the end, faint not, you know, just endure. Do not give up. It's how we defeat Satan. This is the power of our warfare is not so much in fighting, but rather in not giving up and surrendering. This is why I love that song. He said, you know, here I am, I surrender. You know, and I submit to you, and I, you know, and I give you my all. And so whatever it is, no matter what, how it feels, it's his. And we, we surrender it to him so that he will perfect those things concerning us. And then judgment is unto vindication. David prayed that God would vindicate him before his enemies and rule in his favor. So we see here now that this vindication is what delivers favor. So we may say we want favor. You know, we may pray for favor. Then we need to know that in our prayer for favor, we have to allow him to judge us, to do whatever it needs. Judge me, oh God, and plead my case. And he says, against an ungodly nation. And that ungodly nation, that ungodliness, can be that which is within us or that which is around us. Deliver me from deceitful and unjust men. And, you know, we started this with the hardest is more deceitful. You know, is wretched. But it is so deceitful. And so this vindication and this judgment, as he judges us, will reveal this and deliver from him. Oh. And judgment is to prove us. God brings judgment to his people in order to prove them. The Lord our God leads you through this great and terrible wilderness. So the Lord our God will lead us through this great and terrible trial, this adversity, this vexation that we have from the enemy. He will lead us through this to prove us. God tested Job and then had confidence in Job's character and in the outcome of the trial, just as Abraham was tested. Is talking about that on Wednesday, and when and how this trial, this testing came, and him hearing the voice of God, him surrendering to the voice of God, him not interpreting the voice of God, but just obeying the voice of God. As he took each step, he was in obedience, not knowing what the next step was until God released it. And so this is proving us. This is proving even to us that, you know, there is a place that we have set for God in our heart. And in that place that we have prepared for God in our heart, oftentimes we're not aware of the position that we have set him in. And in this judgment, it could be judged that he's not in number one position. Or we can see he isn't, and then we're motivated. It's more than encouraged. Our hearts break, and we want him. We see the reality of it, and we want him to be number one. We want him to be in that place. And then that's when this adversity starts to stir up in our hearts the ugly that's there. And now the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened because we're getting this God perspective, and now we see what the ugly looks like. So often we think of things that we do as it relates to sin and overtly, you know, in a look, see it, whatever. But so much of it is invert, you know, it's what we do on the inside in our thoughts. Which is why Christ said, if you even think about it, you in a place to slip and fall. And so these things here to prove us is so that we don't slip and fall, or we slip, and then we see we can't stand on our own, and we must have him in the number one priority position in our emotions, in our attitudes, in our thoughts, in our preferences, and in our desires. And sometimes we have to come to face to face, you know, it says judgment to prove us. And honestly, I know this overseer is really getting proved in this, well, not proved, but being judged in this hard condition of, you know, my prejudice. And so things that I would have never thought, that, you know, I wouldn't speak of myself, I'm seeing now that, yes, it is true. But I had to get stirred up to see this. The Lord had to bring me to a place where I can look at it now, and now I see. Before, I didn't. But I wanted, my prayer has always been, may the eyes of my understanding be enlightened so that I know the hope of my calling. You know, we always say that we have this eternal hope through Jesus Christ. And we know the hope is that we, at the end of our journey here, that there's a place prepared for us that we will go. But there's also a hope that started when we embrace Christ right here, right now. And so it's that hope that often is distorted. you know, because we think of it and we kind of identify it on a secular or human level and not a spiritual level. So our hope becomes distorted, and so our walk becomes distorted, our teaching becomes distorted, you know, our judgment becomes distorted. But because God knows the plan he has for us, then he knows how to bring that distortion into focus. If you ever, those that wear glasses, you can go and when you sit in a chair and they flip them lenses, and there's one lens, you know, that's flipping, you don't know nothing. I can't do anything. All that. And then they keep flipping lens, you know, to a place where each one you see clearer and you see clearer. And then, you know, there comes a point where you can read even the bottom line on a thing, you know. And that's what God is doing. He's given us clarity of vision. He's given us clarity of what the hope of our calling is. And it's not just for us. It's for him and his kingdom. It is so that his son, because that's the rest of that scripture, is that, you know, his son will be worshipped because of the things that he has done and what has been established through him, this wonderful, awesome plan of salvation. And so it becomes the thing that should be number one priority and not our emotions and our attitudes and our, you know, cultural upbringing, our cultural, there's a word for that, but anyway, that is not the source, but Christ is the source. So judgment is to prove us. So judgment for deliverance, judgment unto vindication, judgment unto proving, and then judgment unto holiness. God judges in our life. His judgment in our life forces us to choose the road that we want to travel. Every day, every time, say in but choose you, yeah, do what? Choose you this day who you will serve. And it is a constant embracing of the things of God because there is a constant revelation of God being released in our understanding. And so as it's being released, we have to embrace it, embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit because he is releasing some truths about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that we were not aware of or fully understood with a wisdom and an understanding. And so the judgment is unto holiness. And so we realize that he that is unjust, the scripture says, you know, let him continue to become unjust. And he that is filthy, let him continue to become more filthy still. But he that is righteous, let him continue to become more righteous still. And he that is holy, let him continue to become more holy still, out of Revelation. And so we see here that this is the hope of our calling, to become more, to become more, to become more. One road gets better. One road gets better and better from righteousness to holiness. Our road gets worse and worse than from unrighteousness to filthiness, which is why when that comes a part of the fruit that's on the vine, the vine dresser has to do something because he understands if it's not right, it's going to get to a point of filthiness. And so whatever he needs to do, he's going to do so that it can be established in righteousness and then continue to become holiness. And then by our response to God's judgment in our life, we are choosing a particular path. And we're also choosing the grace that he releases take that path. And we have to understand that as he presents the path, he says he also presents the grace, for us to successfully choose that path. That grace that he releases, we saw earlier, that when we reject the process, we're rejecting the grace that he's releasing for us, and we're choosing to do our own, to be our own strength, to be our own understanding. Lean not into your own understanding. And so that's us choosing ourselves and our knowledge, or the knowledge that we receive from our culture, from our environment, from our the times that we're in. And when we choose that, then we're going to get out of line with God. And then these adversities take on a field, if you will, that becomes very difficult for us to navigate through, because we're all impossible, because we're trying to do it on our own. And we could come up with some solutions for some things, but generally when we come up with solutions for some things, they run so amok that we have to run to God. And whatever it takes for us to get to, for us to see or to allow him to dwell in the position that he deserves, which is number one in our life. If we submit to God's righteous judgment in our life, we will be placed on the path of righteousness. You know, again, that's part of our prayer in the 23rd Psalm, you know, that path of righteousness. This is how we get on it, okay? It's by submitting to whatever the Lord sends our way. It's how our feet then become on the path of righteousness. And then we understand that happens because Christ died, and he shed blood in his feet so that our feet would be empowered to walk in this path of righteousness. We can't walk in it on our own. It has to be covered with the blood of Jesus as we have embraced the grace that his death, burial, and resurrection has made available to our life. Let's be able to say as the psalmist, judge me, for I have walked in my iniquity. Okay. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I will not lie. Psalm 26. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So it's the knowledge. He'll know. And he'll show me. And I trust him. And it's going to be all right. And so as that mindset is established in the midst of our trials and circumstances and adversity, or even those things that just vex us every day. They're not a huge thing, but they're just little things gnaw away at you and gnaw away at, we're trying to gnaw away at our peace and at our joy. Then we have to have this mindset of we're going to the path of holiness. So after judgment, unto reward. The double portion, and we often hear about the double portion, we've read about the double portion, but the double portion comes through test, not birthright. So the double portion is the seed as we embrace the testing and surrender to the fire that purifies us. Our scripture is very clear about the rewards of the righteous. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? So as the scripture said, this is what we're going to do. But we can't judge the world until we have allowed God to judge us and purify our perspective, because otherwise, again, as I said in the beginning, it would be a distorted and perverted judgment. So it is, or even whatever the interaction is, but God first judged the wickedness in our own hearts before he can assign us the task of judging the world and rebellious angels. Okay. And then judgment unto love. Lord, a saint prayed, teach me how to relate to the whole body of Christ. Yes, Lord. It was a prayer birthed by the Holy Spirit. God is in the process of judging prejudices, preconceived ideas, and suspicions in our minds that divide and separate us from other born-again believers. That was definitely for overseer. A judgment unto love. A judgment going through being standard being presented after having not met it, and surrendering to the process, and so that these prejudices and preconceived ideas and this suspicion in our mind, you know, you made the comment, you know, I know, made the comment. They don't necessarily like doing business with African-American people, or, you know, these preconceived ideas that a certain race of people are lazy. Even though we can see they work in all the time, and yet that judgment is out there from the enemy, because they're not. It comes from one thing that they do in their country, because of, at a certain time of day, it is so hot that they have to, stop working. So obviously stop working, they go to sleep or whatever, but you have to get in the shade, and a big hat, just to keep the sun off them. So there's just so many things that as you go through this pruning and this period of adversity, that you understand there's more to it. And when you see the reality of it, you know, you see what makes sense, and you're able to separate the right from the wrong, the vile, okay, from the holy. And you're able to see, you know, the lies of the enemy, the manipulation, you know, of that keeps saints apart, that keeps born-again believers apart in our hearts. Maybe it doesn't look like it that way, you know, as we go through day to day, but in our hearts is that way. And God cannot, he can't judge the world if that is in our hearts. So that has to come forth out of our hearts. So I want to read the judge this portion, lesson. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. A redeemed mind promotes unity and love for the brethren. But the natural mind separates us from one another. It is imperative that we follow God to judge our natural mind, our preferences, prejudices, and traditions. The natural mind is an arch enemy of the unity and love for the brethren. May we permit God to burn up any remaining infirmities in our natural mind, and he will accomplish this as he is judging us. And so that, to me, was the most powerful pivot moment for me. You know, it's judge not that you be not judged. And I've heard that before, you know, and I had a thought about it. But this thought is a deeper understanding of it. It's imperative that we, and this is the motivation for going for our frame of mind as we go through our troubles and our testing and the things that are vexing us and irritating us. It's like the natural mind is an arch enemy of unity and love for the brother. And God said that they'll know that your mind, so they don't know, because we really, in our natural mind, we're harboring this arch enemy to unity and love. You know, and we need to allow God to burn up any remaining infirmity. And that is just going through our period of, you know, Job rejoicing. Rejoicing because I understand why I got to go do this. And it's marvelous. It really is marvelous in my sight, because it is God perfecting me, making me more like him, giving me a love that's like him. It became a prayer of mine recently, last year or two. You know, teach me to love the way you love. You know, not just teach me to love my brothers and sisters, you know, because I can love them, but teach me to love the way you love. That's a totally different kind of love. And he's showing me that. And it's not just, you know, hard love or cold love or whatever they call it. You know, that love. It's so much more than that. You know, it is an accepting love. It is a non-judgmental love. It's a non-critical love. You know, it is a love that you go down those 33 love heart conditions that we have, and we're going to do the heart condition, I think, next week. And so it is the powerful fruit of the Spirit that will make a difference, not in your life, but in the world. In the world. And tapping into this truth, understanding it, getting understanding the hope of calling, it will allow us to stand the test of time, stand the storm, stand it with a Stephen posture. You know, just seeing heaven and glorifying the God in heaven, which overrules and overshadows anything that the earth would provide or expose us to. And so the last thing is judgment unto glory. Another purpose of judgment is that we might see him, the Lord of glory. And so it's hard to see God through our eyes. And so we have to have, you know, the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. During our time of judgment, of trials, of adversities, we see things different. And so it's no longer our natural eyesight, but we start getting this God's perspective. And that's when we see the Lord's glory. After enduring the fire of God, Job was able to say, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He was only able to declare this after several major flaws which had been obscuring his vision of the Lord were judged in his life. The end result of God's judgment is that we might come to know him, the God you may not know. God must judge those areas of blindness which hinders us from seeing what he sees. Job was delivered only after he saw what God saw in him. Hallelujah. That God's eye perspective is the place that God wants us to see. That's the eye of our understanding, being enlightened. Then may God grant to us the courage and grace to enter the arena of God's judgment, whereby we will be tried but not destroyed. You know, when the gladiators went into the ring, and they had to fight whatever they had to fight, they most went in thinking, somebody's not coming out. But when we go into this ring, we know our flesh won't come out. Oh, but we will come out, and we will come out victorious. May we be able to say at the end of all our trials, as the captain of our salvation said, the prince of this world cometh, Satan, and have nothing in me. So in other words, there's nothing in my heart that belongs to him. That's how we overcome the enemy. That's how Satan is defeated, because we endure our trials and dependence, and actually more dependence. We're hiding in the blood of Christ, and in doing so, Satan is defeated. So I'm in trouble. It says, thou bringest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Psalm 66, 11 and 12. And that wealthy place, wealthy place is the place of God's perspective. So, questions, comments, insights, revelation you receive? Are you there? Hello?
Good morning. Well, I was just listening. All of this is very informative. You know, I'm always amazed at how God uses people information that will cause us to take a look on the inside of ourselves.
Yeah.
And not just ourselves, but his word and our relationship with him. And how much we really know him. So this has been a good, I have found it a good study. Just down through the years, you know, when you hear people talk about Job, you know, I haven't found where they have brought it out like this writer that, you know, God is the writer to do.
Amen.
And so I was just listening to you read through that. I read it a couple of times, and just going over it, and it just causes you to, you know, just put a more of a hunger within yourself to really come to know him. For who he is.
Amen.
Not just,
true.
You know how you study in school, you study the book, you know, and then after you study, after a while, you don't really remember what it was that you, you know, you don't remember what it was you studied. But this just gives you the more push to go back over and over and over and over. Because the more you read and study his word, the more you read his word, the more he makes you to delve into it, the more to get what he is trying to say to you. Through the word, because there's so much that's hidden in it. You read the surface of it, but what is hidden in it? So,
Thank you for sharing that. Absolutely. Anybody else? Somebody else was getting ready to talk.
Good morning. Wow, this was so needed. And sometimes we get part of the answer, but then he'll give us the whole truth that we can digest and chew on and eat and then swallow it. So I thank God because just something just been going on all week. And no matter what, you can see someone, a situation, and you judge it, then going in prayer right away for how someone is treating you. Because you never know. Sometimes people just having a bad day and they take it out on you. But you can't judge because they are doing it. You have to just pray for them and move on, but not allow yourself to go the opposite way with the negative connotations that sometimes we find ourselves because how people treat us. But we have to show love because God so loves us, you know? So it's just been very, very powerful, very on time. And to God be the glory. Thank you.
Always, always, always. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you for the fellowship of Friday that we have and the insight that we get from one another. And do know that your insight is needed, and that which he gives you, share. Share, because one person may get something from and somebody else gets something, and when we get through sharing, we all got it. Okay. I know that this area of prejudice with Hispanic people, I'll just be honest, I repent. And I always want now the Holy Spirit to show me when there's a thought that's coming that would have been rooted in that. And then I have to tear that thought down. Because he's given me a clean heart as it relates to that. And so it is a time of healing for me because we don't realize sometimes the big rips that our preferences and our, what do they call it, was something, our traditions, when they're exposed, they definitely leave a big rip in our, I don't know, inside thinking somewhere. It's a big rip, and it has to heal. And I often think the sound conference is doing a circumcision, but that rip, that cutting off, that taking out of error in our life has to be replaced with truth. And the author gives us a perspective to be able to use. Because often we can have a truth, but we don't really understand how to use it. And so this understanding comes from this God's idea. And you see, you know, what God did and why he did it. Oh, he did it this way because of that, that, and that. And so pray for overseer. You know, you sometimes get to a point like, ooh, I don't know what else is in there. You know, you get a little leery of him showing you anything else. But I want to see. I need to know. And that becomes more important. Knowing that when I go into that gladiator ring, that he's fighting for me. And I love the scripture because he said, thou broughtest me into a net. So now I'm caught. I can't go nowhere. Thou layest affliction upon my loin. Okay, you gave me all this trouble. And it just goes into my soul. That's when they say loin. That means your very being. Thou hast caused men to ride over my head. So now my enemies is, you know, riding their chariots over me, you know, whatever. We went through the fire. Now it said, it says us, and now it says we went through the fire and through the water. But thou bringest us out into a wealthy place. And so he's talking about the author of Psalms. He's talking about the journey of the believer, of God's chosen. This is the deal right here. And but the but changes everything. Okay, he brought us into a wealthy place. So enjoy your wealthy place for 2023. Enjoy your wealthy place. I don't know if there's any announcements or anything. I don't think we're doing anything tomorrow because that would be the first Saturday. Okay. So I know there is the homegoing for one of the ministry affiliates, and that should, you should be getting something in your emails about that. But other than that, I see you Sunday, or I'll talk to you next Friday on our Fellowship of Learning 2023. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Enjoy this nice and cloudy day. Amen.
Yeah.
I love. Love.